I can tell you the situation is really dramatic on the ground, and one figure which says it all is that 50% of the population is under humanitarian assistance and in need of humanitarian assistance, covering all the spectrum actually of humanitarian needs, from food distribution to schooling to health sector, and thousands of children actually are not going to school, meaning we are sacrificing a whole generation of children who are not going to be able actually to play an active role as a Central African, citizen in the reconstruction of their country. This is dramatic also because we are just getting only 10% of the funding, which actually is really putting peace at stake. It's not only about saving lives. And obviously for us, saving lives is really the priority and the center of our support. But actually, it's really a turning point for CAR, where we need to consolidate and we need to capitalize and benefit from the peace dividend.
You mentioned this dire context where over half the population needs humanitarian aid. We see also that the humanitarians are often the object of attack and are forced to withdraw in certain areas. Can you tell us what is the impact of that withdrawal?
It's not across the country. There are some very specific areas where actually it's a temporary suspension, okay, and I need to clarify that and to underline that. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, safety, of course, of the humanitarian is also very important. They will definitely go back. If we don't, actually, we will leave a vacuum, which will be immediately used by the armed groups.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the humanitarian aid that you're bringing is twofold, is one, to bring aid for an immediate need, but also to try and feed into recovery and consolidation of peace. How do you weigh those out? How do those work together on the ground? What does it look like?
Obviously, saving lives is a priority. I mean, and that comes always first. There is absolutely no questioning about it. But the point is that after all those years of crisis, you know, and humanitarian assistance, it's really about time for us to think about more sustainable and durable solutions, where even when addressing humanitarian assistance, we need to immediately connect it to a recovery. And I can give you a very simple example. You know, instead of doing food distribution, what we are doing actually, and in Kagabandaru, for example, is to provide the population with vouchers. The population, they are going to local commerce and buy whatever they want to eat.
Well, what about agro-pastoralist tensions and other underlying dynamics which are leading to these tensions and to the violence that's on the ground?
Agro-pastoral conflicts exist in this region since ever. I just also want to clarify that. But you're right. It is really important that we come up with a very clear understanding and agreement on the transhumance corridors and, more importantly, on the entry points. This is calling on a regional dialogue, and it is calling on a regional agreement, because transhumance, as you know, there is a lot with Chad and with Cameroon. And this is why by mid-May, actually next week, there will be a regional meeting, a sub-regional meeting held in Yaoundé, where those countries will meet together and agree on what are the corridors that are going to be used by cattle to avoid as much as possible, actually, the agro-pastoral conflicts. And therefore, to avoid feeding into, the fertile ground for the armed groups actually to come up and say that they are protecting. But second, it is important also that we address access to land, to housing and other assets.
You just took up your functions recently, your role as a humanitarian coordinator for the country, and you've gone out to the different regions, Bawa, Kagabandaru, and you've met with the populations. What is it that struck you the most and keeps you, has given you a vision and a motivation?
I will always remember the face of this mother. Her eyes were full of tears. And she just told me, "We don't want to cry anymore." It was really, really, really so heartbreaking, you know. And she was so much looking forward and so hopeful, you know, just looking at UN and looking at the international community, hoping that actually she is not going to be forgotten. And she is not an isolated case, you know. They don't want to cry anymore. They don't want to have this fear, you know, of their boys, their sons and their daughters going to armed groups just because they did not have any other option. Just because being enrolled in an armed group is giving you a kind of recognition and existence. And just because this is a very good source of income, you know. So that's also the kind of things we need to address. And this is why it is so important that actually we work together between humanitarian development, but also the mission, you know, in terms of security and political process. It is really important in CAR more than anywhere else that we address alternatives. The way we address alternatives is definitely to provide them with skills so they can maybe access new opportunities in the job market, is to provide them with some support for the entrepreneurs among them, for them to create their very small company. And they are entrepreneurs, you know. I really admire their resilience, actually. And I met with those with some of the youth who actually are still enrolled in armed groups, and they were very clear, you know, their motivation is not an ideology, which actually is a very good news for us, because when there is an ideology behind that, it's much more difficult to address. Their motivation are very simple, you know, really simple. Any teenagers, you know, in his 50s, in his 15s and 16s, is dreaming to become a hero, is dreaming of doing something different. And the armed groups are providing them, you know, with this way, at least in the beginning, of doing something different. So today they reach the stage where they are really tired of that. They are tired of this life. They would like to wake up every single morning and just go and see their family without this fear of being arrested, without this fear of being killed. So there is a readiness for that. It's really up to us, with the support of the international community, to provide them with this alternative. And CAR is really in a turning point. There is a momentum that we have today. I am afraid the window of opportunity and this momentum is not going to last forever.